The Delicate Art of Raising Thestrals by Apo Apples. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of J.K. Rowling. Chapter 12. Because Fire. Lucius was distracted as he rebound Potter's hands. His wife had packed her bags. It was unwise to be distracted around Potter. She had also packed Draco's bags. Lucius gathered the dish, spoon, and cup from Potter's meal. It wasn't a question of if she was leaving, it was when. This was house elf's work, but Potter was too dangerous to be entrusted to servants. And when she left, she would take his son with her. Potter had put Pettigrew in a coma, after all. Lucius had been checking 2 to 3 times a day to see if she had left the bags out or shrunk and pocketed them. He almost wished he could go with her. The Dark Lord grew more crazed each day. But Lucius had the mark, and they did not. If they were to be free of his mistakes, they had to be free of him. The bell chimed, and Lucius swore. He rose and turned away, only to swear again when he tripped on his robes and nearly fell on his face. He turned to glare at Potter, who sat against the wall and glowered back at him. The bell rang again, and Lucius hurried out, locking the dungeon cell behind him. He got to the front door as Narcissa opened it. Severus was there. "What are you doing here?" Lucius hissed. Severus entered and looked as if he meant to answer, but Narcissa stepped around him and out the door. Lucius felt his heart break as he watched her go. He stood there, holding onto the door as he watched her blonde curls tangle in the wind, her dark robes trailing over the path like a dark mirror of their wedding day. He wanted more than anything to call out to her, to beg that she return. But she was in the right. Just as she had been all those years ago, Lucius had chosen the losing side. He watched until she crossed the apparition line. A sharp crack, her last goodbye. She hadn't even looked back. He would have. But then she had always been the strong one. "Lucius," Severus asked as the door was finally shut.
"Don't ask," Lucius snarled.
"I don't give a shit about your marriage. Is your floor supposed to be smoking?" Lucius spun, reaching for his wand and finding it wasn't there.
Fuck.
Years of being a mischief maker were about to pay off big. James had palmed Lucius's wand. He didn't need it to transform, he did need it to slow captors down. He transformed the basement stone into wood, pine wood, then used about the only dark spell he had ever wanted to learn. Because fire. Fiend fire, to be precise, which he himself fled from once he cast it. It was child's play to transform and get out the dungeon window. The idiots had spelled the bars, not the glass, against magical tampering. And once he was out, he was running. He was in the countryside. It was autumn. Lily was dead, but Harry and Sirius were alive. He could make it to the Forbidden Forest. The last thing he heard before apparating was the sound of a crackling fire roaring to life. The idiots had warded the windows, but not the walls. Bombarda! Harry and Luna stayed out late that night. The Thestrals were behaving oddly. They kept herding Harry deeper into the forest. Growing tired, Harry was about to ignore them and bully their way back to the castle, which is when he saw it. A stag. And then it transformed. His breath caught.
"Tad?"
The man hesitated, but nodded, stepping closer. And damn if they didn't just look alike. But it couldn't be James Potter. Harry wouldn't be a fool again. Voldemort's visions made sense now. The bastard really shouldn't have gone through such an elaborate trap. It was too elaborate to work, and having seen Sirius tortured in nightmares and killed in person, he knew he couldn't trust his emotions. Harry raised his wand, stepping in front of Luna.
Harry, it's me, son. Your dad,
the man said, raising empty hands.
My father's dead,
Harry said. The man's face twisted in sorrow.
They buried me.
Harry's heart ached, but his heart had led him astray before. When he spoke, his voice was dry and sardonic.
You expect me to believe that Voldemort, who hated my father, let him live? And beyond that, that anyone could survive 15 years buried in the ground?
Voldemort is obsessed with immortality, Harry. He's found things in magic that most people would never dare dream of, but also things he would never perform on himself. And there was every chance of something going wrong when he experimented on me.
Harry could almost believe that, but believing something as good as his father coming back from the dead happening to Harry Potter? Not likely.
What about the embalming process? How did you survive that?
He challenged. The man claiming to be James Potter frowned, eyes flicking back and forth as if searching his mind for a memory or definition.
Embalming?
He finally asked. Harry was about to get way more detail than Luna deserved, but they were discussing resurrection, so this was already more morbid than anyone deserved.
Yes, embalming. When you're prepared for burial, they glue your eyelids shut, stuff your mouth with cotton, sew your jaw shut, drain your body of blood and other fluids. If you were buried in a coffin, and I know you were because my parents had a big funeral, it was in the papers, there were pictures. There's no way you could have survived that.
James's expression of scandalized horror was near comical.
That is disgusting. Is that what muggles do with their dead?
Harry shrugged.
I personally want to be cremated and have my ashes thrown in the ocean. I've been in enough forsaken rituals. When I die, I would like to stay that way.
James shook his head.
Your mother and I would not turn into modern mummies, Harry. Wizards do it differently. A preserving charm is all that's needed.
Harry frowned and glanced over his shoulder.
Is he right, Luna?
She nodded.
Yes, though there wasn't enough left of my mother, so my father had her cremated. But your parents died of the killing curse, so they would have been relatively easy to treat for a coffin.
It wasn't the killing curse for me. The spell was white, not green.
James sighed.
Right, as morbid as my coming back from the dead is, I think we've gotten a bit off track. Harry, is there anything I could say that would convince you I am who I say I am?
Harry blinked.
Was there?
Everything he knew about his parents was learned secondhand, but maybe there were a bunch of things in combination that might prove it. He had his free hand behind him, and he squeezed Luna's wrist 3 times. One of their signals for go get help. Luna snatched the invisibility cloak from his pocket and bolted up to the castle. James's eyes followed her, and Harry let some of his magic sparkle light at the end of his wand.
Eyes on me, buddy.
Harry.
Where's my mum? Voldemort played with me. But he must not have done so with Lily.
His mistake, given it lost him a body.
What do you mean?
Lily was a bit of a genius. She set up a ward of protection around you, a blood ward. It would protect you against the one who killed her.
He blinked.
That's how I survived the killing curse.
Yes, Harry. And I'm so sorry we couldn't protect you.
But our world...
The present tense did not slip Harry's notice.
So if she was still alive, if he'd done whatever he did to you to her, I'd be dead?
James nodded.
You should have saved yourselves.
James's eyes widened.
No, Harry, how could you think?
He lurched forward. Harry raised his wand higher. Don't! And the man froze, but he didn't stop speaking.
Life wouldn't have been worth living without you. I couldn't have survived it.
But living without your wife?
Harry challenged cruelly. Crouch Jr. had been an excellent actor. Although he had just been a madman pretending to be a different kind of madman. Tears spilled down James's cheeks, and his voice was rough as he said,
"My heart is broken. But he died protecting you. There are regrets, but not that. We'll see her in the next life, but you're here now. And I have 15 years to make up for."
Harry's heart twisted. It's what he wished Sirius had said. But he couldn't let himself believe this. It would break him. "All right, let's start easy," Harry said. "How did my mother's parents die?"
"They were killed by Death Eaters."
Harry nodded. That's what Snape had said. Then again, a lot of people must have known that.
"Is that why Petunia hates me?"
James shrugged.
"Probably. Lily's sister was always hateful and bitter. She was jealous of Lily in all things. She wanted to be a witch, you know."
"Come off it," Harry scoffed.
"Cross my heart and..."
He trailed off.
"Ask me anything, Harry.
What happened in your 6th year?
"Referring to Sirius and Snape?" James asked, arching a brow.
Harry nodded.
"I'm surprised Sirius told you about that, but it was an unfortunate mix of cock-ups. Snape had more or less figured out what your Uncle Remus was, but he wanted to prove it. The idiot even tried taking a camera with him. Sirius never should have exposed us like that. He put everyone in danger. But Sirius didn't mean to nearly kill the fool. But that's how it played out, and I was able to step in before anything irrevocable could happen."
"Why wasn't Dumbledore the secret keeper?"
"Because your mother didn't trust him. She thought Albus could be too focused or set toward his own goals, regardless of who he ran over in the process. But we should have trusted him. Instead, we trusted..."
"A literal rat?" Harry asked, wondering how long it would take help to arrive. James winced.
"Yes."
"When did you wake up?"
"Last month. Well, at least I think it's been a month."
Which is when Harry let himself believe, and horror filled him that he had not gone to Snape sooner. Swallowing hard, he said,
"Voldemort has been interrogating..."
"Yes," James answered before he finished the question. "What did he want to know?"
"He wanted to know Sirius's weaknesses."
"Why?"
"To get at you, I suspect."
"Did he tell you what had happened to me?"
"What year is it?"
"How old am I?" Harry countered.
"I don't know, 16, James guessed, then asked, "How old are you, really?"
Harry winced. "Basically 15. James frowned.
"Basically?
It's 1995.
"I've missed so much," he breathed, looking down at his feet, reminding Harry that his parents were only 21 when they died,
which meant they were only 5 years apart now. He was being an idiot, and he knew it. 5 minutes ago he had been sure that this was a trick. Of course it was a trick. He'd been tricked before, and Sirius had died. But now his father was alive. Because Harry wanted him to be alive. He was such an idiot.
Then he got an idea.
"Do you have a wand?" James looked up.
"Yes."
"Can you summon a Patronus?"
Harry asked, Remus having told him once that no true Death Eater could summon one. "Of course I can," James said.
Harry kept his wand steady as James reached into his pocket. His own wand in hand, James froze for a moment, as if unable to recall a memory. Then his eyes met Harry's, and the older man laughed, and he said,
"Expecto Patronum."
Harry watched silver light spread its wings as a silver thestral took flight above them. One of the true thestrals launched itself from the herd, dancing with the luminous magic like yin and yang in the twilight sky. Harry blinked back tears, his throat going tight. When he met his father's gaze, he seemed a bit confused.
"Well," James said, sounding a bit stunned himself. "That's the third time he's changed. Although I suppose I shouldn't be surprised."
One of the mares bumped Harry's shoulder as he asked, "What were the others?"
The first was a doll like your mother. And then it turned into a puppy after you were born. You were every inch of Mama's baby. But you would chase after Padfoot any time he was over. Your first word was dog.
Harry couldn't quite suppress the smile at that, but asked,
Why aren't you surprised it's changed again?
Because you've changed, James said, taking a step forward. Harry didn't protest, and James took another step.
I'm your Patronus.
James's smile was soft as he answered.
I loved you from the moment your mother told me we were having you. I never thought I could love another person more than I loved her. But from the moment I held you, I knew I would remake the world to keep you safe, do anything to see you smile.
Harry's lips pressed together in an effort not to cry, to hold out a little longer. He thought Voldemort had been a fool to taunt him with his father. Harry saw now to have his father be real, to love him and be loved by him, and then lose him. He didn't know if his sanity could survive it. He was only mostly sure he could survive losing Sirius again because he already had. Because maybe Sirius would be better off. Perhaps too much of him had been left in Azkaban. Perhaps he would be happier in heaven. But James Potter. James was Harry's. Harry had known the loss of him every day of his life. The aching chasm of knowing he had no one to make proud. No one to look toward, for example. No one to ask for protection or advice from. No one who would love him for just being theirs. He felt too much guilt about his mother to miss her like that, sure. He would die for her without question. But a part of him had remembered her dying for him, associated her memory with pain, and a smaller part of him had feared her greatly. What if she had been like Aunt Petunia? No one aside from Aunt Marge ever said anything specifically bad about his mother aside from her poor choice in husbands. Harry had viewed that as a warning sign. Well, his father? They had demeaned him constantly, and anyone the Dursleys disapproved of that strongly was probably a good person. So here he stood. His father, back from the dead. Another one of Voldemort's cruel games that Harry was considering falling into headlong. James had passed his test, hadn't he? If a Death Eater could not summon a Patronus, and Harry was willing to assume neither could a zombie. So there was his proof, dancing above them in a silver mist. So why was he still hesitating?
Can you perform the charm? James asked.
Harry nodded, lips still tightly pressed together to fend off humiliating himself. He managed the spell wordlessly. Using his hope, the blinding moment of the Thestral's Patronus's appearance as his happy thought, James gasped as the buck pranced around him before taking up to the sky to dance with the other Patronus and Thestrals.
Me?
James asked, voice thick. Harry finally found the words to say.
You're my dad. You protect me.
Because of time travel, oddly enough, Harry had seen in his own reflection the man who he had wanted to be. Who he had wanted his father to be. With a horde of Dementors circling around him in Sirius, Harry had seen what he wanted to see, what he wanted to believe. That his father hadn't been a sacrifice, but a fighter. The father he had prayed for all his life to come back to him. He'd seen his mother die in front of him. But he hadn't seen his father die. And his child's mind must have clung to that hope that one day soon, his dad would come back for him. As soon as he was able. And perhaps today he finally had.
Harry, James asked.
Taking another cautious step forward. But Harry had burned through his caution. Right now he didn't care if this was another trap, or if this was how he died. Some dreams were worth dying for.
He crossed the final space between them and threw his arms around his father's waist. Harry hugged him back just as fiercely as Harry buried his face against the man's chest. He smelled the sweat and blood, and Harry didn't care because he was solid and real as the tears that fell on his shoulder.
"I love you, Harry. I love you more than anything in this world or the next."
Harry clung to him, feeling small and young, and completely lost. Only his father's arms were holding him together.
For the text of this and other stories by the same author, visit the AO3 and FFNet pages of Apo Apples. Music is Awakening by Stephen Down, with assistance by James A. Riley. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com, where you can find other stories that I've read and ways to support me. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.